The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Tuesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside coming in. You never know what we're going to be talking about today. I mean, definitely some baseball, definitely some football. We're talking wrestling on the way in, literally 10-second countdown. Yeah. We're talking Hulk Hogan and the documentary over there on Netflix. Maybe we even circle back around.
Doc recommendation from Matt Brown.
By the end of all of this, we're going to have Joe Sheehan that will help us talk some baseball, as will Paul Sporer here on the show. Drew Densick will join us. We'll talk some NFL futures with him, and who knows what else, you know? I mean, Drew's a man of many talents, so who knows what we're going to
do. Are they still cycling in the mountains of France?
Yeah, you know, we're going to talk about all these different
things. I don't know, but he bets on it. Yeah. Tadej Pogačar is going to win, yeah. I know that.
We're going to see what he thinks about some of this news that's coming out, and maybe that shapes what he thinks about some of these teams. So awesome guest list here for us on that. But you want to tweet at us? You know, we got some yesterday. I am Matt Brown, M2. Of course, he is Kelly Bidlin, as you always know. So if you make it funny, you know, or make it interesting, We'll talk about it.
Let's do a better job of getting to him today. I felt bad. We missed on a couple yesterday. By the way, Tour de France in the books as of Sunday. Tadej Pogačar takes down his fifth title.
Okay.
You know how much money that guy makes a year? This has been a something of fascination for me on this show. Tadej Pogačar, best cyclist in the world. How much money does he make a year?
I'm going to go, since you're saying it like this, whatever.
You're still going to be low.
No, it's going to be $24 million a year.
All right, half that, $12 million. Okay. Actually, no, 12 million euros.
Okay, yeah. I mean, endorsements, obviously,
it's
the big part. Yeah, the big portion of that. But yeah, good for him. And I guess he is the best, still the best cycler.
He's the best.
There it is. Over Major League Baseball, the streak is over. Marlins 8, Phillies 7, the 12-game skid is now done for the Fish as they get it done. By the way, 3 in the bottom of the ninth to get it done over the Phillies. So they were about to lose their 13th straight until they get to the closer there.
Yeah, nightmare's over.
Yes, it is. So you're looking at this team, again, that was right in the thick of everything when it came to the wild card race. Still a lot of baseball to be played. Still could play their way back in, but at least the skid is over now for that one. The Phillies, a team that is definitely in the hunt for everything. Got to look at that one last night and try and figure out what went wrong. Again, 3-run lead just absolutely evaporated there late on. The Mets, 14-3 over the Braves. 19 hits in this one for the Mets against the Braves. Just absolutely pounded them. Mm-hmm. That said,
I had this on for a few innings. It was not much drama in there, Matt Brown.
No, but I will tell you this. There was a little bit of, if you are a Braves fan, there's something to be happy about this morning. Do you want to know what that is, Kelly Bidlin?
What's that?
So we ended up getting position player pitching.
Oh, nice.
Last night. So Jorge Mateo is a shortstop for the Braves. He comes in. He gets Luis Robert Jr. looking. So the pitch sequence, 51 miles an hour.
I was going to say, did he have some gas? This is a shortstop. We're usually talking about outfield or catcher.
51 mile an hour called strike. So Robert takes it. A 52 that he just bounced. So, you know, ball there. Then he cranks up a 71 mile an hour fastball.
Whoa. I mean, a 20-mile differential velocity, like, there you go. That's then, pretty powerful two pitches.
Then comes back with another 51 in which Robert fouled off, right?
Okay.
So he literally, like I said, cranked it up 20, then went back down to 51.
Okay, so he clearly has, like, a secondary pitch.
Yeah.
Do you think, you're the former pitcher. Would that naturally be, is it easier to throw a changeup or some kind of pitch?
All these dudes could throw, like, all these dudes could throw hard if they wanted to.
Okay.
Like everybody in the major leagues has an arm. It's just, they don't want to mess their arm up. Right. Because it's pitching is different than throwing from the outfield or whatever. In all this, comes back with a 51 that was fouled off, throws a 59 again in the dirt for a ball. And then comes back on the 3-2 pitch, 77 on the dot, watching, got him looking. So there it is. You got Luis Robert Jr. looking with the shortstop pitching last night.
He was never taking the bat off his shoulder and had to watch it just come in at 77 miles an hour.
Went everywhere from 51 to 77 and ended up getting the punch out there. But they do lose that one 14-3. Rangers 7-3 over the Mariners. George Kirby gets absolutely hammered last night. Gives up four homers in this one. Four home runs for the Rangers, two of those coming off the bat at Jock Peterson. And the reason we bring this game up is because that division is still up for grabs with both of these teams that cannot put together any sort of consistent baseball whatsoever. George Kirby, this is obviously the most home runs he has given up in a game in his career. And then also the most earned runs that he has given up. Seven earned, by the way, all seven of those came off of Kirby. And it's the most he's given up since early 2025 for them there in that one. But again, this division, Kelly, you just look at this and you go, man, the Central and the West over in the AL are so incredibly weak. And then you just get these guys roll out there and again, a guy that has been pretty consistent for you goes out and just gets absolutely shelled in George Kirby. As we sit right now, the Rangers have a 2-game lead over the Astros. The Mariners are 2.5 back, and then, of course, we know the Angels and the A's have all kind of have fallen off the planet here, but it is very, very much up for grabs with the Rangers being 54-52 on the season.
Yeah, it's going to be fun down the stretch in the American League, man. You got every single one of these divisions, all three of them are up for grabs, right? Yeah. AL East built a little bit differently with a couple quality teams,
one of these divisions is not like the other two.
There's a couple hot messes in the Central and West, man. This is going to be fun.
So speaking of that Astro team, it's only 2 games back. They win last night. They get 4 runs in the 9th inning off of Un hit. They go into the 9th inning getting absolutely nothing done, and then just a comedy there in the 9th inning for the Angels. Astros win 6-4, and what that does is draw them a little bit closer. Again, they're now sitting 53-55 and only 2 games back from the Rangers there in that division. So, again, we will keep that as one of those that we are keeping an eye on for sure. Kelly, the Red Sox get it done. Not a good day on the diamond for me last night, only a 1-2 day. That said, we did get the Red Sox run line home, which plus money. So we didn't lose a whole unit there, yesterday. But Red Sox 4-2 over the A's. They were getting no hit through 5. And I'm going, really? I'm going to be 0-3? Like, really?
Red Sox were no hit through 5?
They were getting no hit through 5 innings. And then end up winning 4-2 there in that one. So the only bad news coming out of that for the Red Sox is their new addition, Curtis Meade, gets hit by a pitch and has to leave the game. So he's in there for
crazy.
Yeah, he's in there for his second at bat as a Red Sox, gets hit by a pitch and has to leave the game. They're going to do the whole test and all the stuff this morning on him to make sure that he's okay. But yeah, it's like we trade for this dude, get him in there, second at bat, hit by a pitch, out of the game.
Yeah, and it was the quick diagnosed with left wrist contusion. But yeah, that was while the game was still going on. So maybe wait till today. We might be hearing more on that.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on there with that one. Cubs 7-3 over the Cardinals. Bregman and Nico Horner, huge game. Both 4-for-5 with a homer in that one. So massive games out of both of those guys. You didn't need anything from PCA. You didn't need anything from the rest of that lineup as they were able to get it done. This Cardinals team continues to slide. We talked about it yesterday. We'll continue to talk about it. 15-3. They are now 500. This was a team. They're 2-8 in their last 10, and they're all the way back at 13 games back now in the NL Central, which also lets you know the difference in the divisions. Because remember, we just said that the Mariners are leading the AL West at 54-52. They're 53-53. They're 12 games back.
12 games back. Yeah. Cardinals, look, Cardinals, Rays, White Sox. I'm just trying to think of like beginning of the season, these teams that we did not have these expectations for that got off to these hot starts. Marlins, right? And then it's someone like me who's not betting baseball every day. I'm like, all right, some of these guys are coming back to the pack. When's it going to happen? How long does it, and how many of these teams? Only a couple of them have kind of come back so far, but Cardinals.
The good news for the Yankees, they win 9-5 over the White Sox. The bad news is the diagnosis does come down for Cody Bellinger, and he is out 4-6 weeks with a hamstring injury. Remember, no Giancarlo Stanton, no Aaron Judge, now no Cody Bellinger. We know what the Yankees are going to do, Kelly. They are going to go out and they're going to try to be aggressive. The problem is there's just not a ton of big bats that are going to be available unless they make some sort of crazy offer to try to pull one of these bats away from one of these teams. And so you look at this Yankee squad whose offense without those three guys is mediocre at best. And I mean, that is at best. What are they going to do at the trade deadline in a market that might not have a whole bunch of bats that are available for them?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. We've heard a lot about the pitchers being out there. Skubal, Mason Miller, obviously the biggest names. And yeah, bats not seemingly not so much available here as we head towards the trade deadline. But yeah, they got to do something. And it's, man, I mean, there's so many years you could say this with a team like the Yankees, right? But like, it's all there in front of you, right? The division's right there. You're two games back of the Rays. Like, the AL's wide open. We're talking about this yesterday. So, yeah, you would surely expect that they're going to go do something like they usually do.
The Orioles 8, the Tigers 5. And so what this does now, the Tigers, 3 in a row, Kelly, they are now 7 games under 500. And I'm curious to see what Joe Sheehan thinks. And we'll talk to Spore about it as well. But I'm wondering if today is going to decide the entire rest of the season for this Tigers team. If they lose again today, you're 8 games under 500. Is that going to be enough to where they look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, now I guess we decided we got to be sellers?
Man, they've played like 17 game sevens in a row now. Now you're saying tonight's game 7 of all the game sevens?
It seems like it could be, because if you're going to make a move, remember that Monday's the trade deadline. Like you will have to start talks on a Wednesday.
You can't decide
on Saturday that you're going to make this move for like the most coveted most coveted guy that could be available. Like, you got to start these talks now, because you want multiple offers. Like you want guys competing against each other. So
100%. Hey, ring your bell if you're I guess a Red Sox most July wins. You know, Gil Alexander's a happy guy. That's locked up. Congratulations. What do you think Gil's doing right now? Eating a breakfast burrito?
Yeah, something like
watching
that.
Watching the ships
Maybe
come
he's
in.
Sleeping in. Who knows?
Maybe he's sleeping in.
He might not even be able to. We got some NFL news to hit on the other side, as well as a couple of MLB bets.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Appreciate you guys being with us here on a Tuesday, whether that be Sirius Channel 158. Of course, we have our own VSiN Watch app. We got terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. And if you want to, we found out, Kelly, there are ways that you can reimagine your quad box over there on YouTube TV. You can throw us in. I don't even think there's anything to be watching right now, though. So just put us on. Is there any?
They usually have every single tennis match on on the face of the earth out here. So you're right.
Therefore, you don't need to quad box us. Just throw us on the screen.
Wait. Hold on. But better question is, hey, Chris and Darnell, what are we betting right now? What do you have action on right now?
We got some Russian ping pong stuff going on, maybe.
Nothing. Oh. When it's nothing from the crew, there is nothing going on.
Okay, so there it is. Then you don't need to quad box us. Just throw us on the big box. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big boxes.
Volume up.
Single boxes there. As we, again, we're going to talk a ton of baseball here. Joe Sheehan is going to join us next segment to do that. But guys, listen, our special is ending soon. So $175, everything we do now until the end of the Super Bowl. And we have the NFL betting guide that's been out a while. We're going to update that thing. We have the college football betting guide that's coming out here in a week. So trust me, we had Adam Burke on yesterday. That was not us just kind of blowing smoke. It is probably the most important thing that we do here from a betting standpoint for you guys to help you enter a season, because with the way that the college football landscape is right now, Kelly,
it's a nightmare.
You don't even know who's coaching places, much less who the quarterback is and who the starting running back and wide receivers and all the different things. Like, the transfer portal's flipped everything on its head. So we go in, preview all these different conferences as Adam mentioned yesterday, there are teams in different conferences you didn't even know about. Like,
I just learned that Texas State's in the Pac-12.
Yeah. So all of this, again, that's coming out this week as well. And then we're going to give you a bonus as well. The Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide is going to be included in that. 425 different player profiles, all the projections, everything to help you get ready for your fantasy draft over there too. So VSiN.com/subscribe, $175 now until the end of the Super Bowl. And we're talking about football. We might as well continue on with this, that Vita Vea wants out of Tampa. So they were trying to get a deal done with him, Kelly. He is going to get $18 million, or at least is set to get $18 million here this season. But as we know, high-level defensive tackles tend to make a decent amount more than that. And Vita Vea thought that he should get more than that. He's only 31 years old, and I say only because, I mean, we do see these D tackles still play at a high level to about 34, 35. So, I mean, like, he's looking at this going, I've still got 3 or 4 good years, and I want to be paid like a dude that has 3 or 4 good years. 4.5 sacks last year, 40 different quarterback pressures for Vita Vea. Of course, we talked about Baker Mayfield's contract situation yesterday, too. So a couple of different guys that were looking for contracts there. Now, Baker has showed up. He has been practicing. And basically, he just said, if we don't get anything done by training camp, which, by the way, officially starts today for them, then we're just going to shelve this, and I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to talk about it. And we're not going to have any negotiations whatsoever. So unless something comes down while we're basically on air here, Baker Mayfield is just going to play out his contract and then be a free agent next year. But Vita Vea, not going to go that route, Kelly. He says, I want out, has requested a trade.
Yeah, this feels big to me. Like, this feels like, you know, we've been wondering, this NFC South, right? Okay, you still got the Bucs up top, but are they still the team to beat? And they've lost some pieces, right? Mike Evans out now. That felt big at the time, too, of just kind of a complete change in what's going on in Tampa Bay. And I think when you talk about guys that are cornerstones of this franchise, right? Mike Evans, Vita Vea, these are the names. And I think Baker Mayfield's worked his way into that conversation now, too. But seeing the desire for these guys to get out of town in a situation where I think you could still make the argument, and the betting market says so, that this is the best team in the NFC South. And to see these guys wanting to get out of here is kind of interesting to me, Matt. But I, from Vita Vea's standpoint, I get it. You're one of the best D tackles in football. Someone's going to want you. I know he was on with Kay Adams this morning. Said his dream destination, Buffalo, would love to play for the Bills. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of people that would be saying that as well in his shoes. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, you look and you hear those numbers, and sacks are the thing that get kind of the sexy tag attached to it and all that. But it's really pressures, right? I mean, like, getting the guy to the ground is one thing, but getting them to get off their spot or have to just throw the ball away or make a poor throw and all that, it's really about pressures. And 40 pressures, you're talking about a Bucs team that was fourth in the NFL in pressure rate last year against the quarterback. Vita Vea, a big part of all of that. And so in a division, this is twofold, right? One, the team that gets him is getting a quality player that goes and gets pressure on the quarterback. And two, the big loss for the Bucs in a division that we just talked about how maybe this division is full of four middling teams or whatever. And like, this definitely makes them worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And that it just could be interesting to track. Right. And we have camp for every team opening today, right? Is it everybody who wasn't in camp already?
I think that's the case, yeah, but I definitely know that the Bucs are starting today.
Always interesting camp stories as we get the first couple of days, right? Cause this was, like I was reading up on this morning, like Vita Vea, this was something that was addressed back in mini camp too, that he was a kind of a hold in, but was kind of taking the route of, this is just business. It'll get sorted out. And well, some things changed in the past couple months.
So we look at that division just overall. And again, it's a division that I think a lot of people have strong opinions on, but none of them anybody really loves.
Yeah.
Bucks are +164 right now. This is at least over at DraftKings to win the division. 265 on the Saints, 310 on the Panthers, and then 425 on the Falcons. So they are your division favorite. You got a quarterback that might be a little disgruntled. You got a guy that wants out of town. Mike Evans no longer there. I mean, there are things here. There are definitely cracks for this Bucks team. And if you look at this win total, this kind of should tell you everything is why I don't think there's as big a gap between them as everybody else. They only have one more win on their win total yet, or +164, where everybody else is significantly longer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you. I only bet I have in the division so far is Panthers under their wins. Played that. But the one I've kept saying is, like, there's a couple of these NFC divisions. It would be Falcons. Like, Falcons long shot for the division price or nothing. Like, there's no interest at the top for me.
We said this yesterday on the show because it happened while we were on air. But Daniel Jones did come out and say he is fully cleared So he is able to go from that Achilles injury, which again, you and I crazy. Just giggled how these guys are able to recover from these things that used to put people out for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're coming back in a span of months. Well, Daniel Jones says he's fully cleared and he's going to be participating. That being said, not all great news for this Colts team as Alec Pierce does move to the physically unable to perform list. So they're a big, you know, wide receiver that got a ton of free agent money for them. So with that, you know, the 4-year, $114 million deal goes to Pierce. And so that recovery process taking a little bit longer for him on his left ankle. So one good thing for this Colts team, one bad thing for this Colts team.
Yeah, 100%. Man, that's a just health with this Colts team, right? Mm-hmm. It really felt like it derailed everything last year. Yeah, and maybe they couldn't have kept up that level of play where they were playing at the beginning of season. They were going to come back to the pack anyways. Yeah, probably. But the injuries just derailed it.
I agree 100%. They were never going to play at that level, but they were also not going to fall to the depths that they fell to. And so already starting off here with Alec Pierce, going to need to go to the PUP list. And then Jamal Adams signed with the Vikings yesterday. So Jamal Adams, 3-time Pro Bowler, Jamal Adams, first rounder, top 10 pick in the draft, has now moved more towards a kind of a linebacker position than a safety position. If you guys remember, one of the best safeties in the game for about the first 6 or 7 years of his career. As you get a little bit older, a little bit slower, move into that linebacker position. Played a ton last year for the Raiders, kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I did not realize he suited up on 17 games last year for the Raiders.
Yeah, played a ton last year for the Raiders, but is going to head up there to Minnesota and see if he can't help out Brian Flores' defense.
I mean, mainly just because, I'm saying that because, he's fallen off the radar a bit, Matt, but also, like, this is a guy who's constantly hurt even when he was good. So, I mean, that was the most games he's played since 2018 last year. Pretty incredible. I mean, look, does he really move the needle? Does he really matter? I don't know, but, like, Brian Flores having another chess piece on that defense, I think it probably matters more there for Minnesota than most other teams.
We do. We did have a postponement yesterday, so there's a doubleheader today between the Guardians and the Reds. That first game's actually going to start shortly after we're off air, so 10:40 Pacific is game number one for that one. Chase Burns is going to be on the hill for the Reds, so anytime he's on the hill, they become a big favorite. They're way out, kind of like minus 165 now at this point in favor of the Reds. A little bit further than I like to actually to bet, but Burns is Burns, and he has been one of the dudes that stepped out there and been as consistent as any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball all season long. Like, there's a handful of guys that every single time they've taken the bump have given it to you. And Burns has been one of those guys. So I understand the price. I get it. Just not a price I'm willing to pay.
Yeah. Anywhere from 155 to 165 out there in the market right now
on that one. So again, that one's going to start about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that after we are
140 Eastern.
So when we come back, Joe Sheehan is going to join us and we're going to try to get some thoughts from him. Not only some bets that he's got and some interesting stuff that he's adding, but what does he think some of these teams are going to do here in less than a week's time? And there are going to have to be some major decisions that are going to change the landscape here of Major League Baseball, specifically if some of these big guys do end up getting moved. Don't go anywhere. Joe Sheehan, when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Kelly, as we head right out to the phone line here, want to make sure to have enough time to talk about everything going on over there in Major League Baseball with Joe Sheehan, Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter at Joe_Sheehan over on the Twitter machine as well. Joe, appreciate you making the time, man.
Hey, man, I'm just surprised. Don't you read like 13 tweets before getting the guest?
Ooh, not Matt Brown.
I like the little the shot. Yes, that's amazing. I love the shot when Gil's not in. Joe, we're going to get to your plays here in just a second, but obviously the thing that is looming, the trade deadline. People are trying to who's going to be buyers, who's going to be sellers, and the biggest question surrounding the Tigers. They were playing a little bit better since June the 1st, and now here they go, dropping 4 in a row, falling 7 games under 500. Is it crazy to think that today might decide what they're going to do with their season? Because you got to think if you're going to move a guy like Tarek Skubal, you got to have more than a couple of days to talk about it with teams. You got to field a bunch of different offers. You can't decide on Sunday you're going to do this. So is today a very, very important game for the Tigers franchise?
Yeah, they all are this week, Matt. But I will say that these conversations have been going on all year. They're not just picking up the phone when they decide. They've laid the groundwork. They've been listening to other teams. This isn't going to be a surprise if they do decide to trade Scoobal. Scoobal's scheduled to start tomorrow. And, you know, if you're trading for Scoobal, that's like 10% of the value. He's got about 10 starts left in the season. So, you know, you'd like to do this today and get him in and get that start for you. I did a whole thing yesterday about how they shouldn't trade Scoobal. Guys, if you look at the prices paid for rentals over the last 10 years, since that year that the Cubs overpaid for Gleyber Torres and Aroldis Chapman and the Guardians overpaid for Andrew Miller. Ever since then, rental players, Manny Machado and guys like that, just haven't brought back a whole lot. So I think that the Tigers, who statistically are still the best team in this division, who are, you know, six games out in the division, still in the wild card mix, I don't think they're going to get back enough for Scoobal to justify trading him. I think they try to add in the bullpen, add a bat, and go ahead and try to steal this division. Remember, we saw the Guardians come back from 15 down last year. So 7 down with 2 months to play is nothing.
Yeah, Joe, switching over to the National League, has anything changed with the Padres? I mean, they're 1.5 out of this wild card race. Sure feels like the way people are talking about Mason Miller, that he's going to be on the move. Do you think anything's changed there, or are we going to expect him to be heading somewhere else?
No, and it gets to what Matt has been talking about here, where these teams are a 3-game winning streak or a 3-game losing streak from changing their status. The Padres are basically going to get scheduled into being buyers. Mm-hmm. They got to go play the Marlins over the weekend. This week they come home and they play the Giants and the Rockies, which is the closest thing we have to like John Thompson's scheduling Georgetown back in the day. So, I mean, the Padres literally could end up, you know, 3-4 games over 500 by the deadline. I think a lot of these teams are going to get trapped by the standings. Like, I can sit here and tell you that the Twins aren't very good. The Orioles aren't very good. The Astros aren't very good. But I just don't think you can go to your fan base a game or two out of a playoff spot and say, yeah, we're going to sell. So I think a lot of these teams are going to end up trapped by the standings. And, you know, the Padres don't want to sell. The Padres don't really want to sell. The Astros don't really want to sell. They're built to win now. So unless this turns into a nightmare week for them with a bunch of losses to the Kansas Rockies at home, I think we're going to see them lightly buy and definitely not sell.
So let's wrap this up then with, we know that the Mets are going to be sellers. They've at least come out and said that so far. Maybe the Blue Jays, considering where they're sitting right now, maybe the Royals, maybe a couple of Angels get on the move there, a Joe Adell or something like that. But is there any big name or that you think could actually realistically be on the move at the deadline? Or are we going to be sitting here on Monday afternoon going, well, that was a dud?
Well, one of the reasons we're seeing all this focus on Scoobal and Miller is that the drop off from those two to the rest of the potentially traded guys is pretty significant. You know, we've been waiting for years for the Marlins to trade Sandy Alcantara. They're 2 games out of a playoff spot. We'll see how their week goes. The Twins, supposedly Joe Ryan was available, but now, the Twins are a game out of a playoff spot. So again, you only have, if you go across the entire league, guys, right now, there are just 6 teams that are further than 5 games removed from a playoff spot. 24 teams are within a good week of being in the playoff mix. So it's very hard to identify players because it's very hard to identify teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, we were talking a little bit about these American League divisions earlier. How do you see these shaking out? I mean, we got the race in the East between the Rays and the Yankees. And does one team want the one seed more than the other? Does it not really matter? And then what do you think happens here in the AL Central and the West?
Well, I remember when it was back in, I want to say 2011, the Rays and Yankees ran away in the American League East, and they basically just played with their food for the last 2 months, because it didn't matter back then really whether you got the one seed or the 4 seed. And that's one of the reasons we got the playoff expansion in 2012 and subsequent one in 2022. It matters now. Getting to not play in that division series matters a lot. So yeah, I do think these two teams will go for it at least up until September. And then you might see some pitcher management. Kelly, you and I and Gil talked about Cam Schlittler, mm-hmm. and my perception that he will be managed the way Jacob Mizrowski is currently being managed with his innings. The Yankees have so many starters, they can afford to do that. Their issue is obviously hitting at this point. They don't know when they're going to get Judge back. They don't know when they're going to get Stanton back. Now Bellinger's out. It is a very weak offense, last night notwithstanding. And the problem with the rest of the divisions is none of these teams are that good. So that's why you have these clusters in these divisions. You know, 3 games separated by 3 teams separated by 2.5 in the West, 4 teams separated by 6 in the Central. These divisions are just waiting for somebody to go 9-1 And none of these teams are capable of going 9-1.
Talking to Joe Sheehan, joesheehan.com, Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Joe, let's talk about one of the teams that we know is not good, but probably not going to be sellers because they're trying to build from the youth aspect of everything, and that's the A's. Shea Langeliers probably was going to be on the move, or at least was going to get a ton of calls anyway, but now that he's done for the season, it looks like this A's team is season is kaput here, and you're going to bet on this season being bad for them.
Yeah, they've lost 20 of 24, and some of that is the injury to Nick Kurtz. He came back over the weekend. But, I mean, you look at this team now, and based on available talent, no Langeliers, no JT Ginn, no Zach Gelof at the moment, no Brent Rooker. It's probably the 30th team in baseball when it comes to talent. They've had the worst bullpen and the worst rotation over 30 days. They've lost 20 of 24. To get to – so I've got the under 67.5 wins at plus money at Caesars as of this morning. To get to 68, they'd have to go 24-32, which is a 70-win pace. And there ain't no way this team is currently constituted is going to play at a 70-win pace. And, guys, let me give you one more. Them to have the best record is plus 850 at DraftKings. And, you know, they're 2.5 up on the Rockies and Angels at this point. Now, I've got the Angels actually to have the worst record for the season. But, again, this A's team could very well finish something ridiculous, like 12-42 or something. They're that bad right now. So I like them to not get to under 67.5 wins and best record at plus 850. Worst record at plus 850.
Yeah, worst record there with the A's. Like that one, Joe. Always one of my favorite markets, no matter what the sport. I know you've got a bet in the first pitch of the day. We've got the Guardians and the Reds here in about 3 hours from now. Currently, we got Reds about minus 155 to 163 out there. Favorites total set at 9. How are you playing this game?
Yeah, I love when these teams that draw 12,000 people on a weeknight schedule a day-night doubleheader as a makeup. Way to go, guys. Split double. You really had so much demand you had to do this. But, hey, we get afternoon baseball, morning baseball for you guys. Yeah, give me the under in this one. You know, these teams are 26th and 27th in weighted on base against right-handed pitching. You've got Slade Ciccone and Chase Burns pitching today. Both pens get a full reset yesterday. The Guardians actually haven't used their A bullpen since Friday. Coincidentally, it was also the last time they scored. I think last time we talked, I was talking about how, you know, with Travis Bazzano, with Chase DeLauder, they'd really made some upgrades to the offense, but you look at the numbers and it's still just not very good because the bottom of that lineup is terrible. So give me the under with two of the worst teams' offenses in baseball. You got the early start, there'll be no energy, and I think 9 is just a bad number, under 9.
Joe, we got the Phillies heading down and playing the Marlins in Florida. Nola versus Alcantara, what are you looking at here in this one?
Before we had legal gaming everywhere, I used to tell people about Fly to Vegas picks. Because it was worth it to fly to Vegas for. When Aaron Nola starts this year, he's made 21 starts. In 16 of those, the opponent has scored at least 4 runs. He's just not a very good pitcher anymore. He's got both an ERA and a FIP over 5. He's in the rotation because the rules say somebody has to pitch. Andrew Painter and Taiwan Walker both pitched their way off the roster earlier this year. They're faking the number 5 spot. So he's just going to keep running Nola out there. Tonight, you can get the Marlins team total over 3.5 at... You're paying some juice here, minus 140. But again, it's hit 16 of 21 and 9 in a row. The Marlins are a better offensive team than you think, even coming off this terrible stretch. We saw them put up 8 last night, beat up Juan Duran, beat up Zach Wheeler a bit. To me, look, there's no such thing as free money. I'm never going to say that. But this is one of the bets I think that if I give out 100 bets on Visa this year, this is one of my favorites.
Ooh,
I like it. Love hearing that. He is Joe Sheehan, joesheehan.com, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, and at @Joe_Sheehan over on the Twitter machine. Appreciate you making the time for us today, man, and good luck.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Joe. Check out the gaming newsletter these days now, yeah. Too. He's got some bets flying. Always appreciate it from Joe.
Guys, the Circa documentary where we go behind the scenes showing everything that's going on inside of the contest, not only the Grandissimo, but the Survivor contest as well. Episode 2 out tomorrow, 9 Eastern over on the VEASAN YouTube channel.
Let's go.
Other places around the TV sphere as well. So go in as we document counting down to these guys taking home some big checks all the way to the check ceremony. So episode 2. Tomorrow night at 9 Eastern. Joe, also like the Cubs and Trevor Larnach over 1.5 total bases.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
know you guys are sick of hearing about LeBron, but news is news is news. And so it comes out yesterday, Kelly, right after we kind of get off the air, that apparently Philly has decided that LeBron is going to play point guard for them. Now, before you guys get, you know, kind of like, what are you talking about? Remember, LeBron has at times throughout his career morphed into multiple different players. He can be an elite scorer, and we've seen him be an elite scorer more times than not, and that's kind of how his career has been. He has played all five positions on the floor at one point or another, and a lot of times this year, we did see him take on the role of being a facilitator and him being more of the guy out there trying to create. And so this is not crazy to think that LeBron could handle something like this. And honestly, if you look at maybe how this actually works, where it's, hey man, there's only so much use. Right? There's only so much usage. There's only so many shots to go around. Well, okay. He is not even looked at as the dude that's supposed to go and get the buckets. He's the guy who's supposed to make the buckets happen. And maybe that is the best way to go about this.
I think we've known this about LeBron James for a while now. I mean, really going back to the Heat days, right? Of like, he need to be more of a facilitator, stepped up his game in that. And he's fourth all time in NBA assists? I mean, that's mainly because of the games played, but still, it's the type of player that he's become. I kind of think, not shocking to see this. We're in such an era of positionless basketball anyways, right? How much does it really matter? I think whether it's him, Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown, guess what? They're still all of them going to have the ball in their hands a lot. I think it's interesting, though, because I do think this is probably a little bit of a tell that this was going to be the case with LeBron no matter where he ended up in the East, right? If it was with the Heat, like that was the one I was saying, if he went to the Heat, that's for sure the position he'd have to play. Cavaliers, I think, would have been a little bit the same story between him, Donovan Mitchell. Like, it's just kind of sharing it in the backcourt. So, yeah, I think this is a way to get him. We wonder about the usage rates and how is this all going to work with all these guys. I think this is a way for him to be more involved while also not needing to take all the shots.
And I think people are going to see this that don't follow a ton of basketball and be like, oh, man, they're going to be playing this guy like out of position. But again, one, very underrated passer and facilitator as it is anyway, because you just think of LeBron in a certain way, but like he's definitely capable of this position. And two, once I saw this and started to think about it, I go, that actually might be the best way to go about it. You know, I mean, just the best way to go. Like you say, he is still going to have the ball in his hands a decent amount, because if you are the point guard and you're trying to facilitate, but it's not the way that might not work, which is him forcing shots or having to be the scorer or trying to be somebody maybe he's not at the advanced age that he is right now and all that. So I think this is a good way for them to go.
But also keeps everybody involved, right? It's not, you don't have that concern about, well, is LeBron going to be unhappy if he's standing in the corner, not getting shots up, right? Like that, I think that's a fair concern when we start wondering about this roster.
So we talked about the betting guide being out in the NFL betting guide. I wrote a little piece on rookie of the year,
and
just rookies in general and stuff with all of that. And I only went back like 5 years, but you know, I think that the NFL, considering it's almost now on a 5-year cycle. So I didn't want to go back much further than that, mainly because we just continue to see the evolution of offenses and how things are going and how the, you know, different positions become either valued or devalued and all of that. And so I went back 5 years to look at all of this. And as you would imagine, of course, quarterbacks are the main position you want to look at with stuff like this. But in a year like this year, mainly the point that I was trying to pull out is, where is their value? Where are there other people that we could look at? Because I don't think there's going to be a quarterback that really can qualify for all of this. Now, I could be wrong. We will update the betting guide along the way. Who knows? Maybe the Raiders shock us, Kelly, and they come out of training camp and say, you know what? We're gonna go with the rookie. And if that's the case, then this is kind of all out the window, because then he probably should become the odds on favorite then at that point.
Yep, agreed.
Like, because it just, at the quarterback, you get the ball in your hand every single play, you know? And so that is just a giant advantage over all the other positions.
I mean, Carson Beck's 28-1 in this market. What is he, third on the depth chart right now in Arizona? Like, I think that's actually a better example of the value of a quarterback positioning than what Mendoza's currently priced at, because we're baking into this price that he's not going to be starting the season.
Now, I continue to bring this up. The Raiders have a week 13 bye, right? That just seems so incredibly natural for him to take over in week 14, because then you still get five games under your belt. So it's not like he didn't play as a rookie. you know, he gets five games under his belt to kind of get some game experience.
Feels late.
You know, and then, but so he, there's not a great spot to this is the problem. Yeah,
no, I know, but this the problem is that you're going to have, okay, it's going to be Cousins. Let's just assume the Raiders aren't winning a ton of games, right? Like, we know how this goes with fan bases. So at a certain point, you just got to put the kid in. You know, but they're not going to want to wait any longer.
So here's...
Now, I still think we get into the season a bit.
So let me kind of try to drive this point home. The reason why I do think this is because... So if you don't start him in week number one, right?
Yeah. There's not a good then there's, home set
there's two road, there's two road games after that. Then it's home against the Chiefs. Then another road game. And then it would either be home against the Bills or the Rams.
Yeah.
Then there's two more road games. And then it's home against the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champion Seattle. And then there's two more road games.
All right, Matt. Like, so it might be week 13.
There's absolutely no spot if you don't start him week one that you feel comfortable about throwing him in there. So it's just like, it's like either week one or I think you just wait until after the bye. I mean, it is the worst schedule for trying to insert a rookie that I've ever seen. Yeah, I mean, it is the worst one I've ever seen.
I mean, you definitely have to do it at home. Right? You have to do it at home.
Right.
And then, okay. You might have just convinced me.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't with you at first. I thought they would have to pull the trigger on him quicker than this, but you're right. This is not great.
It is horrible. I mean, there's never been a worse schedule for trying to get a rookie in than what the Raiders are having to deal with this year. Now, there are going to be some people who point at week number eight. They're on the road at the Jets and say, okay, the Jets aren't all that imposing or whatever. It's like, okay, now you're going to have him make his first start on the road across the country in New York, you know, I mean, like in the biggest
one. And that's just one. Then you're on the road at San Francisco, back home to Seattle, at Denver. I mean, this does not get easy.
No, it is. It's the worst. I was screaming this from a mountaintop that this is the worst schedule ever to try to get a rookie in. I've never seen anything like it. So, again, I'm kind of convinced that it won't be him. So then where do you have to look? And you have to start looking at these other positions. And where has there been a ton of production out of rookies? And Kelly, here over the last 5 years, it's been top 10 wide receiver picks. And mainly because those guys come in and instantly become wide receiver ones, or at least kind of like wide receiver 1As, 1Bs, I should say, to the 1A that's kind of already there.
Right.
If you're willing to spend a top 10 pick on a wide receiver, this is a guy that you're not thinking you're easing into the offense. This is a guy you're like, okay, you got to come in and you got to do some stuff for us, you know, and you need to do some stuff for us very, very quickly. And so the main emphasis of the article was mainly along the lines of, look, I don't think it's going to be Mendoza. Unless something crazy happens with Brissett, which again was, you know, at least out there. But now we know that he's happy, you know. He's no longer disgruntled. He's gruntled.
He's gruntled.
Yeah, he's gruntled. So he's got his money. So he's going to play. So I don't think he's going to be a rookie quarterback. So we're going to have to look at other positions. Yeah, we mentioned Jadeveon Price yesterday. I think that's at least somewhat interesting, knowing what we know now about Zach Charbonnet and with the no timetable to return. But I do think looking at these receivers that – with the way that the NFL has changed, and as much as we're passing and as much as these guys are expected to contribute early on in their careers, I think that there is a decent amount of value in some of these guys at some fatter numbers.
Yeah. And I think it's a great point on the wideouts. You've had 9 of the last 11 winners, not only first round picks, but top 10 picks too. So it's a lot of these, right? Skill position players that you're going to get early. That is naturally more wide receivers than running backs these days. So I understand. Ever since this market opened, I thought there was a little bit of value on that Jadeveon Price number. I finally bet it yesterday. Yeah. You and I talked about it. There's 9-1s out there. That was good enough for me. Because I'm with you on the quarterbacks. And then I think we saw it with Ashton Gentry last year with what Jeremiah Love's going to have to deal with this year. Like, he might be a better back. I think it's going to be very tough for him to churn out a really good resume down there in Arizona. And then, completely fair. It's probably one of these wide receivers is very live. I just don't know which one.
So the other thing about this is with the reason Jeremiah Love to me is almost unbettable is they have 4 running backs.
Yeah, that too.
Currently on the roster. They paid Tyler Algier like real money before they went drafted on Jeremiah Love. And then also they reworked James Conner's contract to make it a little bit more team friendly for him to stick around as well. Like, I don't think, one, the team's going to be terrible, so you're not going to get all these opportunities and all these scores and stuff anyway. And I actually think there's going to be more
other mouths to feed.
A little bit more of this kind of like running back by committee thing than people think.
Yeah, that's a great call. It's a great call. Yeah, I'm staying away from him for sure. I bet Price. Watched him play all three snaps in college. Let's go.
All right, yeah, well, he didn't play the snaps in college as it is. Hour number two when we come back.